Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Combox Live, where the game lives on, it never dies. I'm Behram Kazi, who you can find at DefMango on Twitter. With me is my colleague Saurabh Somani, who you can find at Saurabh_42 or something on Twitter. It's got a really lame handle. And then we've got Jared Kimber as well, who you can find absolutely everywhere. And this is a bit of a live quick picks show for you guys, because we are going to combine to build a T20 World Cup team of the tournament. It's going to be a snake-style draft competition, so the pick order goes 1-2-3, 3-2-1. We were kind enough to give Saurabh first pick because he self-invited himself in the show.
Just before we go ahead, did you guys see the Wisden and the ICC list?
Nope.
I don't remember the ICC list. I think someone shared a screenshot on the group.
Yeah, we'll talk about it at the end. There's some interesting decisions, let us say, in those lists.
I did not even look at that impact chart that Varun sent me. I was like, I'm going to go commando. I don't care.
God. I apologize to all the viewers ahead of time.
But we should set some parameters. One parameter that Rakshit and I discussed was that we cannot pick more than four players from a single team. So there's one.
I mean, okay.
Do you guys want to have it as a draft competition in which we have to pick from the Super 8 teams, or should we just go complete World Cup?
No, I think, if you want to pick someone from the early rounds, you can. You might look like an idiot, but you could do it. Baz the leader, my first pick. Put him in.
Well, Shadley Wanchalkwick has a very solid case, right? Even though he didn't progress past the first round.
Of one or two others also who might have cases.
Well, I suppose let's stop wasting time, and we already know who Saurabh's first pick is, so please do the honors.
Jasprit Bumrah.
Of course.
See, at least it's a very, very reasonable first pick, right? Like, you could go maybe one or two ways with the first pick, maybe three ways maximum. And he would be one of those. So that has to be my first pick.
And I believe he's from India, is he?
Yeah. Also, I don't know how many Crick Picks episodes you've caught, Saurabh. We've never done a live one technically before, because we've only done like a two-way thing. But Bumrah is probably one of the most popular first picks on Crick Picks. So very vanilla of you. I just want to point that out. Very cliche. But dude, like, he ends up with 14 wickets in this tournament. He's top wicket taker, sneaks his way to the top. An economy of what, 6.2 with an average of 12.4. If he does not play these two World Cups, T20 World Cups that India have won back to back, India probably don't win these competitions.
Yeah, I mean, like we see on the screen, his true economy is 3.43, which is like just insane, right? Like that's what he would have conceded according to our advanced metrics. Like that's the equivalent of what he conceded. So, you know what? The thing that got me most angry about the final was his inability to stat pad. Like he got the four wickets. He had three balls left at the number 10 or 11 or whatever it was. Just fire in one more Yorker, get the fifth one. You know, and he just didn't do that. Like that was more annoying than Arshdeep trying to whatever, knock over Daryl Mitchell. Really, yeah.
This is you channeling your inner Deepak, who's always picking something to complain about, right? You're that classic brown stereotypical dad who's never happy with their kids' grades, basically.
Yeah. I'm setting the template for you, Behram.
Well, I mean, look, it wasn't... Not an obvious first pick because there are lots of performers, but it's not a controversial one either. Bumrah picks himself in this team and most teams, and I think he's the best bowler ever to play this format anyway. Okay, I'm up next, and I will pick Kerala's finest, Sanju Samson. I think that was also an obvious one. The run he goes on towards the end, three knockout games, he scores 97, unbeaten of 50, then 89 of 42, followed by 89 of 46, 226 ball 50s, 133 ball 50. He looked in complete control. In fact, his control percentages for all three knocks were 88%, 86%, and then 80%. And he scored 275 runs in three knockout games towards the end in 138 deliveries, being dismissed twice. So, I mean, he... for me, was the player of the tournament, deserving player of the tournament. And it's just that he was so aesthetically pleasing, in complete command, looked elegant as fuck. The way he pierces the gaps like a surgeon on the offside, so, so delightful.
Yeah, I think the control percentage is a big one, right? I'm not sure we've ever seen anyone be that dominant in terms of strike rate and also just never play a bad shot. I mean, it's ridiculous to go through a tournament the way that he did. So I think these are the first two guys. I think you can depending on what you like and which order you want to go, you can move them around. But I think these are the obvious first two.
They're the stats, true stats for Sanju as well on the screen. True average of 50 and true strike rate of 67. I want to read those out because our audio listeners will not know. And had Harry Brook not dropped that catch, things might have been different. But what a chain of reaction or chain of events that followed. Brilliant stuff.
I mean, if Harry Brook hadn't dropped that catch, I mean, who knows what happens.
Also, I love the fact that both the guys we've picked thus far, they're like really down-to-earth, humble blokes who, you know, stick to their own business, just want to do their job to the best of their abilities. And grounded folks. I like that about them. Both
talking about grounded folks, I'm going to pick Will Jacks and his very subtle haircut as the third pick of this. We started calling him Mini Zulu, right? It's not quite a Lance Klusener tournament, but it has elements of, Lance Klusener in 1999. I think all things considered, we would have to say that England is a fair way off the top two teams. And, I don't know where they compare to New Zealand, but certainly off the top two teams. And Will Jacks is probably the player that made them look better in this tournament. I think he should be a unanimous decision at this stage for his batting. And he bowled fine. Like, there's a couple of games where he got pumped as well. But considering how good he was with the bat, I just thought he was a fantastic cricketer in this tournament. I don't know if it's changed my idea of Will Jacks, but I do think that at the very least, if England are going to keep putting him into jobs he's not used to, I think this is much better than using him as a test for spinner.
Yeah,
I think of the two jobs that they've tried to force him into, this one worked.
He was the perfect stopgap solution, like just like proper, bonus cricketer, batting at number seven, bailing England out throughout this tournament, right? Versus Nepal, versus Italy, versus, was it Sri Lanka as well, right? Every single
and
game
took wickets,
pretty much
right?
turned up.
Took wickets.
And like, took wickets.
Went for runs, obviously, because he's not a frontline spinner or anything, but... like, it's a really good tournament for anyone to come out of it the way that he did. And I'm not sure there are many players in the world who have, him and Sanju are probably the two that have improved their stock the most, right? Like, as in, we see them differently now than we did before.
I mean, Will Jacks has improved. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was very impressed that, this is a new role for him and he's excelled at it. It's not as if he has had a lot of practice batting at number seven or number six or something, and he's just come in and just done it. It's opened up a world of possibilities for him, like you think about the IPL that's coming up, like you would have had Will Jacks as one of the top three, four, but now suddenly Mumbai Indians could potentially use him lower down the order and not mess up their top order like they did last year. It's just, I was very impressed with how he adjusted to the new role.
I mean, not only has he kind of elevated his own stocks, but a lot of hydrogen peroxide will be selling out in stores. Everyone will want to go and bleach their hair, look like Will Jacks. I remember, Jared, you might have also remember this. Earlier part of the tournament, we were live and I was like, if Will Jacks was sitting next to me in an airplane, I wouldn't recognize him. I take that back. I would recognize him, definitely. He's done that bit by Klusnering it. And a true average of 39, a true striker of 31 in this T20 World Cup. Add to that a true economy of minus 0.93 and true wickets of 0.52. So brilliant, brilliant campaign for him. Unfortunate that he kind of exits the tournament in the semi-finals. Otherwise, he would have been a proper player of the tournament candidate. For sure, for sure.
I'm up next and I'm going to go Lungi Ngidi.
Ooh.
As my next player of the tournament. Also, because if we just keep picking Indian players, we've got nothing to do for later. So it's probably worth us to stretch them out. Although I haven't picked an Indian player now, so now I look like the asshole. But I thought Lunga Ngidi was... he just had a magnificent tournament all the way through. You look at his advanced stats, but also the fact that everyone was talking about him by the end, right? So a run and a half better than expected, half a wicket more than expected, a spell as well. Like, those two things are fantastic. And quite often with these slow ball bowlers, you might get one or the other. The fact that he managed to do both... and we barely mentioned Rabada in this entire tournament. And even Marco Jansen was more mentioned more as an all-rounder than he was as a bowler. Like, Ngidi kind of took over. And we've seen him do this on occasion in the IPL and on occasion in internationals. But this is the first time I think we really saw him do it for a long period of time. And I think he definitely deserves his flowers. It was a fantastic tournament for him. When you think about it, we picked two bowlers. I know Will Jackson bowled a little bit, but we picked two bowlers and we picked two seamers. Considering this was a tournament in the subcontinent, it was actually probably most of the stand-up bowlers were seamers, I would have thought.
Also, I mean, Jared, I had a question for you, because, of course, you're an historian and all that. But post-wobble seam delivery, if you talk about innovation in bowling variations, it's basically different kinds of slower ones, right? And Lungi Ngidi's particular slower one, which is like a dipping slower one with Magnus Force and all of that, that does kind of stand out, right? I know there's the moon ball as well and stuff, but...
The only thing I would say is Ngidi hasn't invented this. We just have better cameras now. Because Dwayne Bravo was getting the ball to dip massively. Franklin Stevenson used to get it, and Chris Cairns used to get it to dip. So I don't think Ngidi is inventing it. I just think that we understand. Because essentially all he's really doing is he's just moving his hand in a different direction than everyone else. Everyone else is going that way, and he's going around the ball, right? Mustafiza had a similar kind of ball, right? So I think that when it comes down to it, it's not so much an invention. It's probably just that it's been around, but there was just that week, wasn't it? Maybe 3 days where every single content creator in the world did a video on it, right? Back to back to back, right? Yeah. And a lot of that is just now we have the access and we can see these things. But yeah, there's no doubt that this is, it's a very special ball. The ability to dip it, I think, is so important. And it's one of those things of, it's why the split finger slower ball disappears, right? It's because it's the only slower ball that never really did anything. The others actually, you can pick them, you've still got to play them.
Well, I mean, Lungi Sani Ngidi definitely captured our imaginations, and he was on my team as well. I am up next once again, and I'm just going to be boring, man. I'm gonna exhaust the Indian picks first up. Give me Ishan Kishan, because I am a big, big fan of the guy. I have a left-handed bias, and I think that whilst the most magnificent player arc in this T20 World Cup might still be Sanju Samson, he gets that particular, you know, mantle. But Ishan Kishan is a close second, man. Like Sanju, Sanju was at least part of the plans. He was part of the squad. And then, of course, he falls out of favor and comes back and stakes his claim. Ishan Kishan wasn't even part of the plans, man. They were hell-bent on opening with Shubman Gill. Ultimately, they decided that, okay, this is not working out, so we're going to have to try something else. Ishan had a stellar smat for Jharkhand. He was, going berserk over there. And then he comes into the Indian side and just continues where he left off in the smat. And look, if you bowl it short to him on his legs or hips, he will rock back and pull. If you bowl it full, he will slog sweep it. It's not like he's limited to the leg side. He can pierce the gap on the off side as well. And just generally a very, very high intent player who can keep wicket as well. I heard this story, Saurabh, you can probably confirm, that he actually lost his cousin sister and brother-in-law a day prior to the final, which kind of tells us, you know, or gives us an idea of what sort of pressures and sort of mental states these players have to go out there and are expected to perform in. I think that takes a lot, right? And I generally just love to watch the guy bat. He is a very clean striker of the ball. And I'm happy that he's gotten this interesting arc where he's completely flipped his career around, right? Like, you cannot imagine India taking the field in a T20I now without Ishan Kishan. And I think that is just spectacular. Very, very remarkable.
Yeah, no, that's true. He did lose his cousin, sister and brother-in-law in a road accident or something, I believe. But it just, you know, it's remarkable how you can compartmentalize. Like, he was at the boundary line. And in a lot of the Indian stadiums, I think this has taken off from the North Stand in Wankhede Stadium, where they're really vocal and, you know, they get engaged with the players. So in a lot of stands, I saw this across venues in India, they were like, whoever was near them fielding on near the boundary, they were like saying, this is Hindi, Jared, but they were saying, like, let's say if Ishan is there, Ishan ko bowling do, that is give bowling to Ishan. Or if Tilak Varma was there, Tilak ko bowling do. And he was engaging with the crowd, you know, when they were doing that. Like, he was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he was miming bowling and all that. And he was like, pointing at Surya Kumar Yadav and saying that, yeah, tell him to give me bowling. So while all this is, while all this has happened on the previous day, he was able to sort of just put it aside and then come. I think, yeah, you need a certain kind of mentality to be able to compartmentalize like that. And maybe that's what you need as an elite athlete.
And I mean, how good was he riding the boundary, right? We talk about his explosive half century in the final, but he was brilliant in the field. And then, you know, Sanju might be the highest run scorer for India with, what, 321 runs. But Ishan Kishan was very close to him over there as well, 317 runs in the campaign. So, yeah, I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed watching him bat. And I feel like, given the fact that he's got his best years ahead of him, we might see him peak now in the next couple of years. He's already peaking.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we did a piece on it, and I think that's the interesting thing for us is he's basically gone from struggling to peaking in a heartbeat, and very few players do that. So it'd be fascinating to see where he goes from here. And it gave them an Abhishek when they didn't have an Abhishek, right? I mean, that's the really important thing for India.
Both Sanju and Ishan do that, right? At different times, they do Abhishek's job for him. Okay, Saurabh, pressure's on. Where are you going?
I mean, the first pick is fairly straightforward. After that, I'll have to think. But first, I'll go for Shimron Hetmyer.
Nice.
I mean, I know he batted three a lot, but we'll just put him at four here because that's where he fits better in this 11. Hetmyer also, of course, I mean, if you remember that quasi-quarterfinal, the Super 8 match against India, he thought he was not out. DRS showed a small spike when the ball passed his bat, so he was given out, caught behind. But he thought he was not out, and he was smacking it. So who knows how that could have gone, you know, if not for that small spike. And like, a true average of 9, true strike rate of 44, that's really, really impressive, striking at 44, more than expected of the guys.
It's fascinating because when I first saw him, he was playing for Guyana, I think, back in the CPL, and he was batting at first drop and smashing hundreds. And, I remember doing analysis maybe in one of his first hundreds, I think, in the CPL, because we played him like a game or two later. And, you know, me and Karan Pollard going through, you know, his strengths and his weaknesses and everything. And at that stage, I thought he would always be a top order player. And he ended up has been pushed further and further down. But yeah, I had him at number four as well. Just so you know, in the World Cup team, it's the ICC's team, they had Aidan Markram at number four. Who's an opening batter. Who's an opening batter who didn't even bat at three. So at least we're closer to picking someone who actually batted at four. Yeah.
Also, amongst all the spin bashes that we saw in this T20 World Cup, for me, Shimron Hetmyer really stands out, man. The way he took down Varun Chakravarti especially as well. And throughout the tournament, he would just unleash himself onto spinners. And he hits the ball a long way. Like, it goes into row Z, right? So it was really, really delightful to watch him do his thing.
I remember he made a big score against England. I can't remember if it was a test match or an ODI, but and he kept hitting the ball out of Kensington Oval. And I remember we were commentating and we just had to like crane our heads over and be like, well, that one's gone. He has a lot more power than you probably, you know, like him and Puran are not as big as some of the other guys that came before them, but they seem to hit the ball just as hard. I have traveled the cricketing world. And so I've collected two things, the phone numbers of random taxi drivers and overseas SIM cards. Rideshare apps have fixed the first part and Sally is doing the second. Now, all you need is their eSIM on whatever plan works for you. You activate it and you can use it anywhere in the cricketing world. It helps you save money. It is a global solution to a global problem. Stop fiddling with tiny SIMs and get the one that does it all. Go to Sally.com Good Areas and use the code Good Areas to get an exclusive 15% off your first purchase. Fly free with Sally.
Also, I mean, his physique is not that of an athlete, but he can really do athletic things.
Well,
right?
Like, I mean, okay. Yes. This is what, oh my God, an average of 150 to strike rate of 238 versus spin in this World Cup.
Wow.
Wow.
He actually has he has more of a physique of a baseball hitter, right? Like a first baseman or a catcher. Mm. And I think in cricket, we kind of think that people should be athletic, but actually what you also need is the power. And he's got the badonkadonk, right? Like he gets that momentum going through the ball. I honestly, I've said this for a long time. I think he's one of the big lost talents because I think he could have averaged mid-40s in test cricket as well. I know he has issues with his temperamentality at times and issues with authority and all these sorts of things. But he really is such a, you know, phenomenal batter and so skillful. It's a shame that I don't think we've always seen him, even in the IPL, maximized.
Yeah. I mean, the look and feel of Shimron Hetmyer is that of a left-handed Umar Akmal at times. He's got the same smile.
Insult the man? I don't even understand.
No.
Anyway.
There's no Umar Akmal about him.
I see it, man. Not in his batting, but everything else.
Sorry, stop trying to stop us waffling from making your next pick. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, next pick. I'll go Sikandar Raza.
Ooh, interesting.
I'll tell you one of the. I think he had a his best match was obviously the last one, which was sort of a dead rubber, but still it was against South Africa, who we all agree sort of were the second best team in the tournament, and. I think he gives us, along with Will Jacks, that spin option, because I don't know if we have room for a spinner.
Oh, so
that is
okay. I have one.
You have?
Yeah, dude.
I mean, three spinners.
Three out and out spinners who don't do anything else.
No,
whose primary job is spinning. Yeah.
So, I have one out and out spinner.
Yeah. No, like we said, right? That it's the pacers who have the seamers who have really stood up in this World Cup. Like all the names that pop for bowlers are all the seamers. You know, the spinners. There's one that I can think of, but then it's been sort of up and down for him. There's another that's also been up and down. So that's why I mean, went Sikandar Raza.
All I would say is Sikandar didn't bowl particularly well in this tournament. I think for him, he wasn't at his absolute best, but his batting was extraordinary. And it was more extraordinary on the fact that he had one guy to bat with for most of the tournament, right? And so Brian Bennett does the right thing, right? He slows down and bats normally. And and Sikandar's like, no, I'm going to keep batting the same way. I don't care. And I do really appreciate the fact that he was like, no, if I bat normally, we're just going to meet 20 runs short every game. Like, either I'm going to smash the ball everywhere. And, you know, he had a true average of 30. I think his raw average was over 50, right? And he got hammered a little bit with the ball, but took some wickets when it mattered. I had him on my list. I probably had him more as a backup, but my frontline list obviously has about 9 Indians on it as well. So I think once you start to do that, who's more important than Zimbabwe? Well, in the future, it's probably going to be Bennett because he's like 22.
Yep.
Sikandar's 48.
And Musarabani is also close to 30. 29? Yes. 29.
I wouldn't have thought Blessing had been overbowled though. So hopefully they get a few more years out of him. You know, in the next 5 years, the most important cricketer is Blessing. But in the future, it's definitely Bryant.
Yeah, I would agree because Brian Bennett, you know, his ceiling is really high and Sikandar Raza is towards the tail end of his career and Musarabani is also
they do actually find bowlers. Like they have been finding bowlers for a long period of time. It is, when was the last above average batter that they actually produced before Brian Bennett? Like it's been a long time since they've had anyone, especially anyone dynamic. They're very good at finding.
Probably.
And was he above average? I mean,
I don't know.
Would he go into a normal international team?
Yeah.
I don't think he would have, would he?
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Probably not. You know, they've got, you know, Brendan Taylor, they've got some players who can play, but are these guys who would slip into other teams? Whereas with Brian Bennett...
Taylor might have had a case to slip into other teams. Some of them. Maybe not...
As a backup, maybe, occasionally.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, Varun is banned.
Yeah.
For mentioning Prosper and Sayer, even Varun on is the taking screen.
A piss. But look... Sikandar's campaign was topsy-turvy. I had him as a good candidate for 12th, but that last game versus South Africa, he was the best bowler, took 3 for 29, and all three wickets were different. On one occasion, he Erasmused it with the slingy arm action, an off-spinner wicket, and then a knuckleball wicket. Yeah. So 3 for 29, and then he scored 73 or 43 versus the second-best team in the competition. So I think...
But he had some good batting. It's worth saying it's not just that. He did have some good batting all the way through the tournament. And as I said before, it was a combination of the fact that he made some really quick runs and didn't go out. Like he really, I think if you could pick unlimited Indians, he probably doesn't quite make this side. But once you have to put the limit on Indians, I think Sikandar is a very good shout.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I just love the man anyway, so got no issues. Okay. Man, I am going to pick that spinner, Saurabh. We'll be done with our spinners, I assume, after this. Give me the New Zealander. You guys are probably sweating right now that I'll pick McConkie or Ravindra, aren't you? But no, I'll go Mitch Santner. I think Santner had a really good campaign.
You're going Santner over Usman Tariq?
Yes.
And Akshar Patel?
Well, I think Santner also gives you a lot with the bat. And he did give New Zealand that one game versus Sri Lanka where he goes berserk, right? He rescues them from being 84 for 6. And then ultimately, New Zealand end up winning that game by 60-odd runs. And with the ball, correct me if I'm wrong, Varun, you're on the stats and everything. But my knowledge of Santner's campaign is brilliant defensive bowling such that he goes over 30 runs or 30 and above just twice in this entire campaign.
So he's got a true average of 20 with the bat, which is really, really good. just slightly minus on strike rate, but not terrible.
The final terrible. Might have ruined his true strike rate, right? Because he was just hanging around.
A true economy, so two runs better than expected, but isn't taking any wickets at all. Hmm. I mean, look, obviously it's hard to get. I actually did have a bunch of specialist spinners.
Really?
Teekshana had a great tournament and no one remembers it. Right?
Yeah.
No one hit Teekshana all tournament long. I'd be interested to know if he had a better record than on True Economy than even Santner did. But he can't bat, so I'll give you that. I think Usman Tariq was a better bowler as well. And I think Akshar Patel does everything that Mitch Santner does, but gives you probably slightly more flexibility with the bat. I don't think he even passed 20 in this tournament.
Thing is that he didn't want a bit of batting.
He didn't have to.
He didn't get much opportunity to bat.
I agree about Teekshana. I think he was spectacular. The only one bad Teekshana game he has good, is yeah. Huh. Yeah, the one oh, bad okay, game well, he has is versus okay. Zimbabwe.
He's not that much better, to be fair. Maybe on wickets he would have obviously done a little bit better. I think he takes 10 or 11 wickets.
But not only can Teekshana not bat, he can't field for shit either.
To be fair, Santner can do all of those things. I'd let you guys know that the Wisden team did have Ratchan Ravindra in it.
Okay.
Looking at the numbers for the spinners, I saw actually Ratchan, just by numbers, he has had a good tournament. But you can't pick a serious team with Ratchan Ravindra as your spinner.
I can get better though. The ICC team had Adil Rashid in it.
What?
Who I don't think is in my top five spinners from this tournament.
I love Adil Rashid. World Cup. Adil Rashid had one good game versus the West Indies where he takes 2 for 16.
No, he actually had a couple of good games. I think he had a good game against Sri Lanka also, I think.
So Saurabh, but I had a look at the advanced numbers, and Himanesh's numbers have him as the 80th best bowler in the tournament. Now, okay, that's impact, that's one metric. And as you said, there was a couple of times. But I just don't think he had any. I think Himanesh's stats are probably telling you that the games that are ahead in, he did well, but they were already ahead in. And the games when they were struggling, he probably didn't pull them back into. Whereas Akshar's, I think Akshar had like the fourth or fifth best impact rating, right? Mm. I don't know how you get Akshar in because there's so many other Indian players that you need to fit
That's the thing, right? I was factoring that in because there is one other Indian who I really think deserves to be in this team. Let's see if anyone picks him.
Okay, so
quite a few other Indians, but yeah.
There's one in particular, but I might be biased over there.
I know which one you're talking about. We have room for two more, right? We have picked Bumrah.
We've got three, buddy. Bumrah, Ishan, and Sanju. So there's room for one more Indian in this
team. There's only room for one more. Okay.
Yeah, that is true. Okay, now that's fine. I think that makes it pretty easy, though. I think at five, I pick Hardik Pandya.
Okay. Not the guy I was thinking about.
Okay, yeah, I know. You were thinking of Shivam Dubey, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a fun super chat on Shivam Dubey if you could bring that up.
Yes.
Because this is the only time you can.
I had Shivam Dubey in my side beforehand, but once you put the limit on the four players, I think I have to pick Hardik because he could legitimately bowl. And Shivam Dubey's bowling is hilarious. When we looked up the true stats of his bowling, it's very funny. But you read this one out and then I'll...
So Blue Eagle sent this super chat prior to the start of the show. He asks, is Akshar amongst the five best white ball all-rounders? Also, is there a chance that Dubey is legitimately good and not just the Evan Gulbis of India? Dubey is a spin basher. That's his USP. He bashes spin in the middle overs. Evan Gulbis was someone who, averaged 20 with the bat and 40 with the ball, Jared?
Yeah, Evan Gulbis is a very different kind of player comp in many ways.
Insurance. Evan Gulbis is pure insurance.
Yeah, you're having him there if for the team that makes sense. So you have a little bit of extra bowling and a little bit of extra batting, and you hope that your genuine all-rounders do the job for you. I think Shivam Dubey's big thing, we talked about it yesterday, is the gravitational pull. Right? It's the Liam Dawson. Now we have to call it the Liam Dawson effect, right? Liam Dawson bowls one over. Now, England have been waiting 15 years to use Liam Dawson in a World Cup. He finally has a decent World Cup. They get him into a position in the World Cup semi-final. And because of Shivam Dubey, he bowls one over, right? That's what Shivam Dubey does that no one else does. And I think he's fantastic. I just think that Hardik had a better tournament, all things considered. Especially considering that Shivam Dubey went at... we've lost his true average there, Varun. But true strike rate of plus five. True economy, he's on plus.
Both true average and true strike rate of five. That's what he's saying.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Right. So he's above par in three of the four metrics, and the true wickets for fifth bowler, I would say he's above par as well. So I think that's a really fantastic tournament at different times.
And he showed some great death bowling skills, you know, like he wasn't...
And new ball bowling against Pakistan, new ball, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Hardik could bowl to Pakistan in his sleep at this point.
Well, that is also... Maybe that doesn't count. I thought he had a really good tournament, all things considered, and a couple of important
I thought
ones. Can we read this out? So Shivam Dubé went at 3.86 runs and over, more than expected. And I still think that's the friendliest stat you could find on his bowling.
Yep. I mean, he was threat level 84.
There were some times when he came on to bowl where I was like, the expected runs here is 22. Right? It's literally, you cannot make it any higher. Like, I don't even know how when he comes on the bowl and over, what do the poor bookmakers have to do? They must be like, do we put it at 30? And then he's also likely to get two wickets in that over, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a really tough one because obviously on one hand you have a genuine all-rounder in Hardik, and Shivam Dubé was clutch for India many a times in the Netherlands game. Even in the final, that little cameo really hurt, you know, New Zealand towards the end, or Jimmy Neesham in the last over. But Hardik's bowling performance versus England is very underrated in the semi. That 2 for 38 is worth a lot more. He was brilliant.
Yep. Yeah.
So I'm fine with your pick, even though I'm kind of upset that Dubé will miss out.
But all right. Hardik's batting, did you feel like, you know, it was very up and down? Like, he had a few matches, like the England semi-final, where he's hit, what, some 27 of 10, 11, 12 balls, whatever.
He was dropped. And then dropped on 13.
He was, yeah. But then he has the final where he's barely above a runner ball.
I just think the final was probably more to do with that ball just went soft because everyone was struggling until Shivam was there at the end. So, I mean, the fact that Tilak was doing the same thing at the other end, I'm not going to mark him down for that. But I thought a couple of times, I thought he batted really, really well. And is he the best fifth bowler in the tournament? I suppose Marco is probably, if you want Marco Jansen. Although Corbin Bosch is probably their fifth bowler. And I'd still rather have Hardik than Corbin Bosch, I think, to bowl for me. Certainly to bat. But I think he's probably the best fifth bowler in the tournament. Unless, you know, he'd be up there with maybe Sikander, right? Or Ratchan Ravindra in this particular tournament. So I just think he gives you such a... so many different options as well, because we know he can even go up the order if he has to and bat at number 4 and knock the ball around. And then he can be moved all the way down to number 7. Now I'm just saying things because I don't know who to pick next.
Well, you're lucky because we've got a super chat pertinent to Hardik Pandya. So we can just take that whilst you think. Prithvi asks, with India's tactics of batting till 8, who's the more important one for their success, Bumrah or Hardik? Hardik is an excellent fifth bowler, whereas Bumrah just gives 4 overs whenever you want. Bumrah has no relation to the batting till 8 thing. He's Bumrah.
No, he does. He does.
Oh, he
because
does?
You can only get away with batting till 8 if you're almost 100% that you're... And they still had the problem with Varun Chakravarti and even Arshdeep, who could be up and down, right? So having one guy who you just take the 4 overs out of, right? And he's always going to bowl out his overs. They're 98% of the time going to work for you as a team. I think it does make sense.
But I personally feel that Hardik
is really important too.
The combination of Hardik and Akshar, that's what allows India to so successfully pull off 8-3 because those are two players who are full-time batters and full-time bowlers. That's 4 players packaged into 2.
Yeah, but that's still 2 guys, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Like that, it's still a little bit different with Bumrah on his own. I think it's the combination of also Varun, Kuldeep, Ashdeep, and Bumrah. Also, you could say play a part because they know if they have 3 bowlers in. If you go back to when they were struggling before, it was because their bowlers couldn't take any wickets for them and they had all these defensive options available, right? Which meant that they had to outscore every other team by about 20 or 30 runs to be safe in any particular game. Bumrah takes that away, right? Because he's going to take wickets and he's not going to go for any runs.
Like who would India be more hurt by? Whose absence would India be more hurt by? You know, like... If Hardik is not there in the team, can they cover for him? If Bumrah is not there in the team, how will they cover for him? I think Bumrah will leave a bigger hole.
Yes, but covering for Hardik is exceptionally difficult. We've seen India struggle when he's not around.
100%. Absolutely. Yeah. It is. But just in terms of the bigger hole, I think Bumrah will leave the bigger hole.
Okay, we're talking about bigger holes. let's move on. Jared, do you want more time? I can take another super chat if you want.
No, I think I probably just need... I'm trying to work out whether I want to pick the new ball bowler, an all-rounder, or just go with the opener. But I'm just going to go with the opener. I'll go with Tim Seifert at the top. Mm-hmm.
Got a lot of keepers in this team.
We do have a lot of keepers in the team. I think, I know that Farhan made more runs, or I think Farhan made more runs.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
but
he
out
did,
of the two of them, I can tell you which one I trusted a little bit more and thought had the bigger impact. I just thought Seifert was absolutely brilliant. And Seifert also allowed for Finn Allen to be Finn Allen. And I think the combination of those two things was wild. And he didn't. He had a similar, he didn't have the same impact as Sanju Samson, but he had a similar kind of tournament to Sanju Samson in that he, the, putting that much pressure on while not going out all that much just allowed everyone else to attack around him, right?
Yeah. No, no, I'm a big fan. I was talking Seifert up because I'd seen a lot of him because New Zealand play Pakistan every year, right? So I've been exposed to a lot of Finn Allen and Tim Seifert, and from the get-go, I was saying it's a very underrated opening batting pair. But you are right in saying, Jared, that Finn Allen can go the full Allen when he's got Seifert around.
It does allow him to, right?
Yeah,
a little bit how Sanju Samson allowed for Ishan and Abhishek to play like themselves, right? Like, even though they're attacking players who are going to get you 20 or 30 pretty consistently, which means that the other guys are not as worried about, you're not opening with two Abhisheks, right? Or two Sunil Narayans, or, you know, however you want to look at that sort of thing. And then on top of it, we've got a true strike rate of plus 35. Like, he's still hammering it everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Farhan had a true average of 51 and true striker of 29, says Varun.
Oh.
Yeah.
But then again, Farhan, you know, I want to make a case for him. But ultimately, if you ask me if I want to pick Farhan or Seifert for my team, I'm going Seifert as well, right?
Yeah. I think Farhan had a great tournament. I think Finn Allen is worth talking about as well, right? Like, and Markram. Right?
And the guy they picked at four, the ICC.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just think that I had Seifert ahead of Allen, Farhan and Markram by a small amount. But I really do think it's a very underrated campaign, all things considered. And the fact that he was still standing up towards the end, all credit goes to him.
Yeah. All right.
I didn't pick an opener because I all of these guys, it was so difficult to pick one amongst all of them. So
I didn't want to go there.
One of you. Yeah.
Well, absolutely. So here's my issue. I had to pick a bowler otherwise, and I'm split on which bowler to pick as my other bowler. And that's why I ended up in this situation.
No, that's fair. All right. I'm going to buy some time now. This is a non-super chat, but for some reason, Rakshit has starred it. Neckrash Raud Publication says, Jar Old Kimber should make more analysis videos than participating in such a podcast. He makes analysis videos every day.
This podcast will take me an hour. The average analysis video takes me 15 to 20 hours.
He actually does age during those videos. So Jar Old Kimber is correct.
So that's why we do the podcast as well. We do plenty of podcasts. We do plenty of analysis. They are not comparable, what you're talking about there.
And in a bit to buy myself more time, I think it's a good time to take a break. You guys are watching Combox Live with Behram, Jared and Saurabh. And go nowhere because we still have to complete this T20 World Cup team of the tournament. And we will be back very, very shortly.
I once made a pair in a club game, which is almost impossible to do. But I've been obsessed with batting my entire life. And so I put that into my new book, The Art of Batting. Being that I'm not very good at that skill, I decided to talk to other people who were. So I hit up as many contacts as I could just to talk about bat. Rahul Dravid, Brian Lara, AB de Villiers, Kumar Sangakkara, Ross Taylor, Susie Bates, Nasser Hussain, Ian Chappell, and so many, many, many more. I wanted batters to talk about how they and their friends made runs, because that is the art of batting.
Welcome back to Combox Live. You guys are with Behram, Jared and Saurabh, and we are currently in the process of constructing a T20 World Cup team of the tournament. Can I have the team? Varun, Rakshit, whoever's got the team? I just need to know what roles I need.
Well, basically, 1 to 10 is taken. So, okay. Sanju Samson, Tim Seifert, Ishan Kishan, Shimron Hetmeyer, Hardik Pandya, Will Jack, Sikandar Raza, Mitch Santner, Lungi Ngidi, Jasprit Bumrah, and then number 11 is vacant and number 12 is vacant at the moment.
Okay, so the easier thing for me to do would actually be to pick a number 12, right? And screw Saurabh over. That'll be fun. I don't know where to go for my frontline seamer, honestly. It's a tough one. So I'll delegate that task to you, Saurabh. Mm-hmm. I'll pick the 12th for this team. Let's go Jason Holder. I thought he was quite magnificent with the bat. Performed in some really, really crucial moments. That partnership with Romario versus South Africa, it was one of the finest moments in this T20 World Cup. That innings, 6, dropped, catch, out, dot. It was just proper chaos. Loved it. And I think Holder in back-to-back games had really high-intent knocks. He scored runs in the 40s and his strike rate was quite high as well. With the ball, I don't want him to bowl the full four overs, but you know he can bowl those back of a length or short ball cutters. He's really good at those. And he can be incisive, even though he is technically or generally a bit expensive. So true average of 24 with the bat and a true striker of 14 for Jason Holder in this T20 World Cup. True economy of 0.56 and true wickets of 0.46. All right, that makes me feel better. It's a decent
pick. Yeah, I was surprised you were justifying it that much. I almost picked him in my 11 a moment ago. So I had no issues in that. I think that a lot of his wickets come very, very late still. And so there is an element of that. But I thought he probably put in three good batting performances, I would have thought, in the tournament. I mean, his batting isn't as good as Pandya, Will Jacks or Sikandar, right? Yeah. But it's certainly, I mean, this lineup is ridiculously long at the moment. Yeah. So, you know, even with him at 12th, I think it gives you a lot of flexibility. The reason I didn't pick him is partly just because I think that you probably need a new ball bowler in this lineup.
Mm. Yeah, that's where I didn't want to go. So,
yeah, here so we
go. Saurabh,
I just want to give an honorary mention to Ben Manenti. I think he could have been a fun pick in this. he had a couple of really you know entertaining knocks. He properly walloped England. I was there at that game actually. It was great fun to watch him, you know, hit out and make the whole thing look a lot closer than it eventually was.
Ben Manenti is my spirit animal, if you do not know. So I don't know if you know this joke or not, but I've told Jared this joke. So at some point during this T20 World Cup, there was a tweet which said that I want to grow up to be Sharda Ugra. And I co-tweeted it saying that I want to grow up to be Sharda Ugra in Ben Manenti's body. That's just how much I love the guy.
That's.
I don't know how Sharda Ugra would feel about that, by the way.
Yeah.
So. I don't know how Ben Manenti would feel about that.
We can at least let Sharda know it was a compliment. So
it is a compliment.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so a new ball bowler. Yeah, I'll go blessing. Blessing Muzarbani.
I mean, for a few runs in the Super 8s.
He did, but. I put that also down to, you know, the attack he was in. Like, let's say in the India match, his first two overs actually went for only 11. He came back after the rest of the attack was being thumped all over. And like, you know, there's not much you can do with batsmen so set on a flat pitch and it's India. So he ended up going for, you know, more runs in his next two overs. So I think in a better attack, he would be a lot more effective.
Mate, against India, they should have just bowled him up front. I had this argument with Robbie, and Robbie's like, no, what are they going to do at the death? I said, it doesn't matter. If you get to the death, right, he's going to get pumped as much as anyone else is going to get pumped, whereas his only value to you is if he gets new ball wickets, and otherwise you just punt on the game and you forget about it. Yeah. But these numbers are good, right? Like a true economy of 1.36. Considering he's not a good death bowler, I think that number's held up pretty well for him. And what, almost a full wicket per game? Three quarters of a wicket per game more than expected? The man's a genius. I love the way he bowls with the new ball. I think Bayram's right. He wasn't always there. But there was a better new ball bowler in this tournament that I saw.
I mean, Cole
McConkey.
Cole McConkey, obviously, yeah. Look.
But Shadley, you can't pick Shadley in this side because you've already got Will Jack. So not Will Jack. You've got Hardik Pandya and you've got Jason Holder as 12th. Shadley misses out just because those other guys were more useful in other ways.
Yeah,
exactly. No, absolutely. Yeah, that's why I think for blessing.
All things considered, it is a good pick because new ball bowlers generally didn't have a great World Cup, right? So, I think that settles it. And he did bless Australia, Muzarabani, and we'll all love him for that.
And in this team, he can actually bowl three overs in the power play. So he'll be, you know, used at his most effective.
True. Okay, so what's the team looking like, guys? We're finished with the 12.
Yep, Sanjeev Sampson and Tim Seifert open up. Ishan Kishan, Shimron Hetmyer, Hardik Pandya in the middle there. Will Jacks and Sikandar Raza as our, well, and Mitch Santner, I suppose, as our spin bowling all-rounders. Lungi Ngidi, Jasprit Bumrah, Blessing Muzarambani with the new ball. Jason Holder as our 12th. I'll just read out I've only got the 11 here for some reason, but I've got the 11 of the ICC. I don't know if they did a 12th or I just forgot to cut get the last name. But they went with Farhan as their opener with Sampson. They then had Ishan Kishan at 3, Aidan Markram at 4, Hardik Pandya at 5, Will Jacks at 6, Jason Holder at 7, Jasprit Bumrah, Lungi Ngidi, Adil Rashid,
Okay.
And Blessing Muzurumbani at 11 there. So I think we picked probably the better side compared to that, just based
we
on
we can run eight. World cricket.
Yeah.
So wait.
And maybe we can.
Do we need Hardik bowling in this team? Because that would have made sense. It would have made sense to go with Dubey then.
No. Well, I wasn't sure we were going to have Blessing. I still like it because then you use Jasper and Lungi in the fourth, fifth, and sixth overs, right? Or the fourth and fifth and sixth overs. You can even keep Lungi back for the middle overs and use him when people are trying to chip him around. So I don't mind that. But yeah, did we need him? No, you could fit Shivam Dubé in there as well. Okay, you could fit Akshar Patel in there as well, by the way.
Yeah. I didn't want to pick Akshar. I would have picked him ahead of Santner, but it was just the quota thing, right? We couldn't pick more than four Indians in this team.
The quota thing that you came up with that you didn't even
know. Well, no, the quota thing that Rakshit came up with, I thought arbitrarily four was a good limit. Okay? One third of the team. Let's take the Super Chats and go on with our lives, right? We've got Andy B 2021 who says many pundits are hailing Bumrah as the greatest all-format seamer. He doesn't have the career value, but does have the best peak. Who are the contenders? Saurabh, I mean, when it comes to peaks, maybe Waqar's peak can be compared to Bumrah.
Definitely.
I guess. Yeah.
Waqar's test peak for sure. For a strange reason, which I'm just realizing now, I haven't really tracked how his ODI peak was. But his test peak, definitely, maybe because he missed the 92 World Cup, you know, so his ODI numbers, you sort of forget about. But his test peak, Waqar's test peak, would surely be compared to Bumrah's. I think a lot of bowlers' peaks could be compared. But, you know, I don't know, he doesn't have the career value. I mean, he does, right? He's got close to 250 test wickets. He's the best T20 bowler of all time. He's up there as, you know, he would be a good shout to form an attack in an all-time ODI 11. So I don't know why.
Bumrah's weakest format, according to the numbers, is ODIs.
ODIs,
and he's taking wickets at less than 24 apiece in ODIs as well. So, I mean, Jared scolded me the other day when I said Bumrah is the only correct answer for greatest all-format bowler ever. But my logic was that because he's played T20s and he's the greatest T20 bowler.
But that logic that's where the logic is flawed, right? Because then that means you can only be a great if you've played in all three of the formats, right? Whereas Glenn McGrath and Joel Garner Glenn McGrath has an argument to be the best bowler in Test cricket of all time and the best bowler in ODI cricket of all time. And you're saying, well, he can't be an all-format player. Right, Viv Richards in your margins can't be an all format player, as if Viv Richards wouldn't have crushed the crap out of T20 cricket. Right?
You don't have so to crucify really... me two podcasts in a row, man.
I think that's a different argument. What you're saying, right? I think that
you're actually falling
on the wrong side of this, because if your argument is that, then obviously Bumrah is the greatest all format because that takes Garner and McGrath out of it, right? And what's the names that... out of it?
Yeah, those are the three names that really come to mind, right? Yeah. Who could potentially challenge Garner, Waz, and McGrath. Hadley, was he good in ODIs? I don't know.
He's a very good player, and I think he's just a slight step back. And you can make the same claim for Garner. It depends on how high you have Garner up in Test cricket.
In Test cricket,
I mean, realistically, I could make a claim that he's top five of all time in Test cricket. Whether anyone else would is a different thing. But Garner did everything from first change, which is just remarkable when you look at his bowling average, right? I think Hadley's probably just a slight step back. Waqar, all thing with his entire career, takes a slight step back. But peak Waqar, I've compared him to peak Bumrah before. They're actually very similar. Waqar's peak is one of the most devastating, is probably the most devastating we've seen any bowler, including Bumrah, outside of Sid Barnes, right? And Sid Barnes is a completely different kind of thing there. So Waqar was incredible. But I'm with you. I don't have any problem with Bumrah being in the conversation already. I think he's taken more than enough wickets in more than enough formats to go into it.
I mean, he's the only bowler to take over 200 wickets at a sub-20 average, right? So, does have that.
Yeah.
Now, Saurabh obviously is praying to God every day that he maintains that. That's his mission in life.
He just has to get to 300. Still, I mean, I'm okay with the vicinity of 20. Just don't make it like 21, 22 or something.
By the way, yeah. Someone's put in the comments that McGrath was lucky batsman were not aggressive in his time. Man literally bowled to Lance Kaluza in a 99 World Cup semi-final. Look, people weren't as attacking back then, but he also went up against that new period of players. He was still the best wicket taker of all time, though, as well. Have a look at one-day cricket. He was an absolute... He's probably the best new ball bowler in the history of one-day cricket, because I think Bumrah and Garner are better later on in the innings, and Wacker, obviously, and Wasim a little bit more with the reverse swing. McGrath was an absolute goat, mate. If you're, any of your arguments are trying to talk down Glenn McGrath, then you don't know enough about cricket. I'm sorry, because also, he just was so good.
Post-90s, it's a batter's game, right? The 2000s are very, very batter-friendly, and McGrath is still making top batters.
Yeah, I think you can make the claim with Garner that there was a lot of guys who didn't really know what to do in one-day cricket, right? Having said that, all the other people bowled in those games as well, and they don't have Garner's record, right?
True.
Yeah. There are a lot of people that bowled in, you know, in McGrath's career, and they don't have McGrath's record. So why are we saying that those guys are not outliers? That's what you're looking for. You're looking for someone who is an outlier in that era. And those two are definitely just, I mean, it's insane when you look at their records.
Yeah. Okay, let's save this super chat for later, because this is going to take us time, Rakshit. Let's go to
another
one. Oh,
I don't even think we can do it, can we, off the top of our head?
I mean, we'll do it quickly, speed round.
Yeah.
Arnav Jindal with a super chat asks, has this T20 World Cup sort of have made the case for the 50-over World Cup to be a prominent trophy in cricket?
Yes, he's right. Basically, what he's saying is that this was the tournament where the T20 World Cup was supposed to take over from the 50-over World Cup. And it did. Again, we saw people weren't as engaged in it as they have been with one-day cricket and everything else. So it hasn't happened yet. I don't know when that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I can tell you that the broadcasters thought this was the tournament where it would flip and suddenly T20 would be the more important World Cup. And I didn't, as someone who covers content and is online all the time, I did not feel that at all.
Yeah, I feel like guys who are our age or closer in that age range do feel like the ODI World Cup still holds a lot more prestige. But maybe that changes in 20 years, right? It probably will.
Oh, no, 20 years. But what I'm saying is it was already supposed to have flipped, right? And it hasn't flipped. And one of the reasons is we play them every 2 years. Another one is that casual fans still don't engage in it in the same way they do. It doesn't have the Olympics prestige of being once every 4 years, and it just doesn't, you know. I was talking to a big cricket fan the other day, and he said, oh, what have you been up to? And I said, oh, I'm doing the T20 World Cup. And he's like, oh yeah, I forgot that was on now. Like, I just don't think that happens with a 50 over tournament. I just don't think that and I'm talking about like a guy who follows cricket. I just don't think that's a possible thing to happen with a 50 overs. And until that happens universally, I think you're still in a position where the 50 overs is bigger.
It's still the
most important trophy. Yeah, 50 overs. Yeah,
it's probably not Medanob, it's Medanob. I'm sorry, man. If this is your name and I've butchered it, I apologize. He says, what does this tournament mean for T20Is in the future? Is there a closing gap between middle powers and aspirants? Is cricket finally a team sport? It's funny how the associates really pushed the full members hard, but they couldn't win a single game. But then again, they made a case of how they deserve more exposure. Similarly, or not so similarly, in fact, in stark contrast to that, India was a few notches above the rest. So it's like a tiered system in terms of quality. But the middle powers are a bit closer to the aspirants now, I will say this.
Yeah, I just think that a lot of these teams don't play test cricket, these associate teams, and don't play a lot of first-class cricket, right? So they're only playing white ball cricket. A lot of their players are now playing in franchise leagues and everything as well. And you know what Bob Woolmer and Richard Doane did to get associate cricket to the level, I mean, they should both it's ridiculous that the ICC hasn't made some sort of Woolmer Doane award for World Cups, because they've changed our sport forever, those two guys, by making the associate, to helping the associates get to this level. And it's a brilliant thing. But yeah, there's still a space race at the top, right? You know, Australia, I mean, you look at Finn Allen, but even with New Zealand, they struggle to score at the levels that Australia, South Africa, England, and India can do. And I'm not sure we're seeing associate teams coming through with that, but we are seeing associate teams and Netherlands, if they had a full strength bowling lineup, and Zimbabwe, who are a fringe test team, who have better bowling lineups than some of the other better teams, right? So there is certainly something coming through the pipelines.
All right. Rohit Kumar Jha over here in the Super Chat says, 24-team T20 World Cup is a must. To grow, we have to be flexible. So how would that work? How would you split the groups up? I'm trying to hypothesize. Six groups of four? But then how would teams progress?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I suppose you could have luckiest losers and things like that. Like,
God, you have four groups of
six.
12s.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, four groups 12. Of six. And then you'd have a Super 8s again. Right?
I just think four groups of six is a bit, you might be pushing it a little bit. But yeah, maybe you do. Yeah. Maybe that's not the worst.
I wouldn't mind that. More games.
More games, but there'll be a lot of, the associates have shown that they can push full-time sides, but you'll have four of even lower ranked associates. There might be some mismatches.
You'll have Uganda, essentially, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That guy with M has a rest of the world 11, and it's Finn Allen, Brian Bennett / Tim Seifert, Hetmeyer, Harry Brooks, Sikander Raza, Jason Holder, Will Jacks, Marco Janssen, Blessing Muzurabani, Mitch Santner, and Ngidi. He's asking for our thoughts. Which ground is their best chance versus India? This team is a little flawed, isn't it?
Brooks,
who's bowling at the death, buddy?
Yeah. Ngidi, I suppose, on his own.
Oh yeah, Ngidi's there. Sorry, I missed his name.
Ngidi, yeah. Maybe we can have someone instead of Janssen, no?
Also, you can't put a slash on Seifert. He's the only guy who keeps wicket in this team. So,
I don't think they beat the Indian side this side.
No. Nope.
But to be fair, this is a form-based side, right? It's not exactly how you would pick the 11.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, now bring up that Super Chat where we pick our rest of the world 11. Or before that, there's Upamanyu Sen Gupta who's asking Jared, just one question. Everyone says Marshall is better. Why do you always say Garner is better?
Marshall is the better bowler than Garner in Test cricket. Marshall is arguably in the top three best bowlers who has ever existed in Test cricket. He's not a particularly good one-day cricketer. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, we were talking about all format. And in all format, Garner is a definite top three candidate for limited overs bowler. He's probably at worst a top 10 candidate for Test bowler as well. Pretty handy.
Yeah. You should go check out the knockout episode on ODI bowlers. Garner won that. Big spoiler, but anyway. Yeah. Vaishak with the big question. Your rest of the world 11 with versus India. Let's do this quickly. Don't think much. Saurabh, start.
Finn Allen.
Hazelwood.
Are we picking guys who weren't even here? How do you get him?
Okay. We're doing a rest of the world 11.
Oh, my God. Shit, man. I don't know what you've done to me now. I was picking the team. Mm. Okay, Hetmeyer.
Okay. You have
this
another
is terrible.
Turn.
This is the worst thing we've ever done.
You have another turn.
Actually, did I say Finn Allen? I meant Seifert. Can we just change that?
Okay, sure. Yeah. Seifert, Hazelwood, and whoever Jared picked. I've already forgot.
I have no idea what's happening here. You've lost control of the podcast. We put the guy's question up. We're not answering the question. That would it would take a whole nother podcast to do this.
Fair enough. Okay. Let's move on to the remaining Super Chats. Abhishek Sharma says, Jared, I want to date Grace Hayden. Please help. Can't help you there, buddy.
Let's just move on.
Yep. Move on. Move on. Why does no one get my Stuart McGill jokes, man? Anyway, Abhilash S.
Have we that podcast, for anyone who hasn't gone and had a look at it, I must have watched those clips about 40 times now. I watch reactions to those clips, right? And I've met both of those people as well. Like, and I'm still just absolutely, Stuart McGill just loses his mind in that. And there are people defending him. And you're just like, wait a minute. He was basically saying that you shouldn't be having a go at Candace Warner-Menace. You can have a go with how he said it and everything else. But my God, Stuart McGill just loses it. It's so funny. It's so stupid. It's
towards the end, was he like bunching his fist up to like threaten?
That's what it looked like. The guy? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Abhilash.
Oh, come on. It's the funniest moment that's ever happened on a cricket podcast.
Yeah.
And I include Science is the Man.
Yep.
Yes.
Oh, damn. Abhilash S says, Pakistan versus Zimbabwe, T20 at Adelaide, who wins? Did they play that one at Adelaide, the Park Bean Derby?
That was I thought it was Perth. Or was it Adelaide?
Well, it might have been Perth, actually. It was Perth.
Current team, I would probably go with, I think I'd go with Pakistan still.
You play Harris Rauf in Australia, and that's a bit of a bonus, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Abhishek Sharma once again says, Jared, do you think I look like Patrick Bateman? Who is Patrick Bateman, buddy?
Patrick Bateman is from American Psycho.
Oh, Okay, well then. Anyway, that wraps up these super chats, guys. Thank you so much for all the super chats and your interactions as well. And thank you for being a part of all of our coverage for the T20 World Cup. This is officially the final video. This is it.
This is the final video.
Yeah, except for the next we will one. Obviously be getting you more content tomorrow. There'll be a wagon wheel and so on and so forth. Quick Picks will be back. Footmarks will be back. But a massive thanks to all of you who made these videos a success. We had a lot of fun doing them. And
can I thank Ishit as well? Because yesterday, I don't think I've actually thanked Sorab as well or Estelle. But everyone in the team, including Estelle, Ishit and Sorab, and anyone else I've forgotten from our team, it means I don't like them.
Yeah, so you guys can wait for tomorrow for the wagon wheel, I suppose. And just remember to follow Combox everywhere. Yep. Like, share, subscribe, tell your friends, whatnot. And we will see you soon enough. Till then, you guys take care, have a good one, and goodbye.
Thank you for listening to this podcast on the Combox Network. There is an ad-free version of this you can find by supporting us on Patreon at Good Areas Podcast. You can also access our Discord channel there. Please like, subscribe, and rate this show. Every one of these helps us. If there was a guest on a show, you can find their links in the show notes. Huge thanks to Ruckshit, Ishit, and everyone else who helps us get our content out there. If you want to know more about us, head to combox.tv.
If you make a lot of content like me, oh, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.